In our discussion about the Rashba in Bava Kama, we had a possibility of explaining why, according to the Rashba's teretz, there's kimle de rabbi mine in the case where he lights up the Gaddish, he kills the Eved who's kafus, and subsequently he burns up the rest of the Gaddish. So maybe part of the Gaddish he burns up initially, then he kills the Eved, and then after the death of the Eved, there's still a continuous fire that destroys the Gaddish. And the Rashba has to explain why he should be chayav. I'm sorry, why he should be potter for the Gaddish. Why do we apply kimle v'ramine? After all, at one point he may have been chayav misa, but later on he has a chiv mamon. So why should the chiv misa that predates, you know, preempts the chiv mamon, potter him up for the mamon? And now the Rashba introduces the concept of rodev. Well, okay, fine, you have a concept of rodev, but rodev would terminate the very moment of the death of the Eved. Why? Because the whole purpose or the status of rodev is a result of hatzolos on nirdof. Once the nirdof is gone, then it's no longer din of a rodev. But here in the Mishkanos Haroim, we're on page Reish Aleph. We saw yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, a quote here in the name of the Birchas Shmuel, in which he says the following. He says, Yesh Misha Omer, Dekusha Meikar Lesa, that this question of how he could be potter for the subsequent destruction of the Gaddish after the Eved is dead is not a kasha. The Afal Gav, the Chiyuv Rodev, Hu Bishas Hadloka, Kmoshin is Bayer, right? He's considered a Rodev from the moment that he lights the Gaddish, because inevitably, since the Eved is kafus, the Eved will be destroyed, and we're holding now Ishu Mishum Chitzav. But on the other hand, once the Eved is destroyed, there's no longer status of Rodev. He says the following, the Chiv Misa, Hoya Almaisa Haradifa Shenimshach Kolazman. Those are the key words that we were trying to figure out what he meant, that the Radifa continues kolazman. What does he mean kolazman? You know, he's covering a whole period of time. Mishas adloka ad shemesa evet, until the death of the evet. So he says the following: the kevan shenischayv al maisa zeh betchiloso misa. So from the moment of the lighting of the Gaddish until the moment that the evet expires, we'll say, he's chayav misa for that, right? It's continuous misa that's called isha mishum chitza. Fine. So now we understand that any part of the Gaddish that goes up in smoke during that period of time is subject to kimle d'rabbinei, included under kimle d'rabbinei. But what about the moment of destruction after the evidence is fired? The afal gav d'liacha mikan. After the
he's still after the Gaddish before the Eved dies.
Oh, before the Eved dies, but certainly after the Eved dies, there's no din of hatzolas on nefesh. Mikomakom any yochol lischayev mamon or mashaholech v'dolek haGaddish ad misas Eved the kimlev d'ramine. So, in other words, until the destruction of the Eved, then there's certainly kimlev d'ramine. The charei al kol ponim ain donino so b'shtei rishoyos u'maynaf gemina im ischayev misa al hamaisa li'achesh aso kechol chayev misos l'beinim ischayev misa v'tchilas hamaisa mishum rodev. So what we were trying to figure out here is this concept of maisa redifa nimshach. Now what does he mean when he says Maisa Nimshach? Because if you read the next line, he says the afal pishali achar mikan ein matzilin oso benafsho. If I understand correctly, what he's saying is that it's not a possibility of killing the rodef, right? In other words, Reuven lit up the fire and now the Eved is about to be destroyed. Once Reuven lights the fire, if the wind conditions are such that we can apply apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzo. So it means that inevitably the Eved is going to die. So why is the Redifa Nimshach Kol Hazman Mishas Adlok Ad Shemesa Eved? Because once he lights up the Gadish, then there's no possibility of saving the Nirdov, and therefore Ematzilin Osog the Nafsho, there's no din of Chiyuv Misa of a Rodev.
Right. So,
and what's the Nimshach here? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Since after that point in time, you no longer have the right to kill. There's no din to kill this man. Then where's the Kimlei D'Rabbanei come into play? If at that moment
right.
he did some,
how could you extend the Kimlei D'Rabbanei beyond beyond the moment that he lights up the Gadish? If at that moment he becomes a Rodev, that's wonderful. So any Gadish that he destroys at the time that he burns it, I can understand Kimlei. But now you're talking about covering an entire period until the Mises Ha'eved. How is that possible? Because again, the entire look of Rodev is that he's mischayev benafsho. Well, he's only mischayev benafsho when we could kill him,
right.
And when can we kill him? When we can save the nirdov. But if he's already he's shot the arrows, then we can't kill him, because by killing him, we're not gonna stop him from killing anybody, because the arrow is already in motion.
Right, so who was his Baruch Klupta again? The Gerd Shmuel. No, the Gerd Shmuel was the only one who came up this chat that he wrote. The status of Rodev ends a second after it starts. Who's the one we talked about? The Divrei Cheskel. Who were we saying before that had a different Mahalach? Therefore, it was easier to understand the Kimlei D'Rabbanei in a point in time after it's too late to put out the fire.
If I'm not mistaken, we had three approaches so far. We didn't get to the fourth one yet, but we had the approach of the Imri Moshe that you'll see in number Vav on the previous page, right? And then we had the Achi Ezer, which I'm trying to remember what letter that is. Oh no, then we had Reb Shimon Shkaf. That's number Yud, which is on the left column on the same page, right? Reish. So you have number Ches, which is this. You know, Ches tells you all the above, if you follow me. So the entire Os Reish Mem Aleph is a summary, an overview of the insights of the Imre Shefer, of the Imre Moshe.
Did someone say, or am I just remembering correctly, that after his status flipped from being a Rodev, he's no longer a Rodev because we can't prevent the death of the Eved, he now becomes a Rodev. And that's why it's Kimlei D'Rabbanei after that point in time, throughout the whole, until the Eved is dead. It's Kimlei D'Rabbanei because he is.
Are you looking for like a paragraph?
Well, I'm just trying to remember. So I just said the question of the Birch Shmuel is he doesn't give him a status after he's no longer Rodev. That period of time after that until the Eved's dead is like you don't have a status, but yet you still came with the Dramanade. Why? That's what we're trying to figure out. Did someone else that we learned so far gave him a status? Is he called a Rotzeach in that period of time?
Well, I don't know about Rotzeach. I can just tell you that there's a paragraph here that would argue that he's no longer a Rodev, if that helps.
And what is he when he's no longer a Rodev?
Again, we could read, if you want, let's read the paragraph. It's on Kuf Tzadi Tes.
Well, to me, I say this question anyway. Is this question only in Rebbe Shmuel? Is everybody else okay with this scenario? I mean, we introduced the Rashba, introduced the idea of Rodev.
Right.
Did he agree with the Rebbe Shmuel's idea that the status of Rodev only lasts for a few seconds? That was the innovation of the Rebbe Shmuel. I mean, according to the Rashba, everything's good. You're Rodev until he's dead, and then it's Kimlei D'Rabbanei. The Rebbe Shmuel argues on the Rashba Kilu and says, no, you're not a Rodev all the way until he's dead. It's not possible because you can't save him anymore. And that's too late to be called a Rodev. Did the Rashba have a problem with this?
But again, in this paragraph that we just read now on Reish Aleph,
right.
I think if I understand it correctly, he's saying that the Redifa is Nimshach, that he is a Rodev up until the destruction of the Eved.
Right.
Well, we don't necessarily understand why.
Right.
Correct.
But that would be how the Rashba must look at it as well.
Correct. And this whole paragraph, you'll see, is the Birch HaShmuel in understanding the Rashba. Initially, the Birch HaShmuel did not understand the Rashba. Let's take a look, I think, for my sake, if not for yours, it's worth it to review why the Birch HaShmuel had trouble with the Rashba. That's on page Kuf Tzadi Tes.
Okay, I'll find that page.
And it's on the left column. And it's the next to last paragraph. V'divrei Rashba Tzarech Iyun Gadol. You have that?
Yeah.
He says, my review of the Teirutzo, how does the Rashba gain anything by telling you that from the moment that he lights the fire, and the wind is going to carry the fire and kill the Eved, he's already considered from that moment that he lights the fire a Rodev, and that's why he's Pata on the Gadish. Akati Tikshe, we should still raise the following question. The Chiyuv Misa de Rodev hu rak berega hatzotzas ha'esh. Why? Because the split second after he lights the fire, he says, if eno yochol l'chavos, if there's no way of putting out the fire, im kein shuv eno rodev, sharei kvar ief shalat sil hasad nefesh, es nefesh hanirdav.
Right.
So therefore there's no heter to kill the rodev. The rodev is only chayav misa, and we put him to death, if by putting him to death we save the nirdav. Ma toelis barigas harodev, im ief shalat sil es nefesh hanirdav. And therefore, Shuvein Arodev Klal. Those are the key words here. So that's the Birkat Shmuel in his original objection to the Rashba. Now, the Birkat Shmuel, in order to explain the Rashba, is saying that even after the moment of Hatzotzas Ha'esh, when it's the Efshal Ha'atzil Sandirdov, nevertheless, he still has this status of a Rodev Shenimshah.
All this is not according to Yochanan, the whole Isham Shemitza. Shmuel agrees in the Rashba that the second that the Eved dies, that this person is tied misa for this Mitzvah. They don't argue with that. It's not Shlokish where they hold this.
Right.
So, yeah, we've got to so you do agree. But if it's in Rabbi Yochanan, why are they ignoring the Rabbi Yochanan Isham Shukitzel part? I mean, at some point you have to kick that in and say that the fire that hasn't reached the Eved yet is still my fire killing the Eved. Doesn't that have to come back into play at some point if I'm holding Rabbi Yochanan?
Again, you know, that certainly is correct. In other words, like according to Rabbi Yochanan, eventually we can put him to death because of the Chiyuv Misa as a Rotzeach. But that's not enough to effectuate Kimlev D'Ramini. So the Rashba needs to introduce another Chiyuv Misa in addition to the Rotzeach.
Wouldn't that matter depend on when Isha Mishu Chitzo starts in this case?
Again, I don't think anyone questions that Isho Mishum Chitzo starts at the moment of Hatzotzas Ha'esh, right? As soon as you light a fire, then it's Isho Mishum Chitzo.
And that still is not enough for Kimlei D'Ramine.
But it's only enough for Kimlei D'Ramine when the Chiyuv Misa emerges, which is at the moment that he kills the Eved. But to start it earlier, that's going to be a problem unless you introduce the element of Rodev, which is a whole new Chiyuv Misa. But if you're introducing the element of the Rodev, you don't know why that goes beyond the moment of Hatzotzas Ha'esh. It's like you're sort of like between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
If you're going with Isha Mishum Chitzav as a Maisa Ritzicha, then that would make sense the moment that you take the life of the Eved, because as we discussed at great length, Ritzicha, you're chayav for the destruction of the life of a person, not for the Maisa Ritzicha.
If that time of destruction of the life of the Eved happens now,
and then we would use the Luka Yosef. That's Rav Shimon Shkop and all that. But if on the other hand you're going to use Rodev, you're going to have a problem in the other direction, because then he's Chayav Misa at the moment of Hatzotzas Ha'esh, but he's no longer Chayav Misa as a Rodev after that Hatzotzas Ha'esh, because Yev Shal Ha'atzil is Nefesh HaNirda. So I was trying to figure out, maybe with, you know, if we learn together a piece here, maybe we could figure out what this concept of Radifa HaNimshach, in other words, that his status as a Rodev somehow continues even beyond that Hatzotzas Ha'esh, until the Mises Ha'evid, you know, to cover that middle period of time, which is our ultimate goal, the Rashba's ultimate goal, and put that entire interval of time under the law of Kimlev D'Ramin. So I thought that maybe, as a possibility, we could get something from Reb Chaim. Maybe, I'm not sure. So that's what I wanted to investigate today. Now, let's keep open the Mishkanos Aroim, because we finished part one, which is Rabbi Yochanan, and then we want to go on to part two, which is Reish Lakish.
Right.
And that's going to be Simon Mem, Reish Mem Dalet, Reish Mem Hey, and that's going to be analysis of Reish Lakish, of Isho Mishum Mamona. We'll see how that kicks in the Rashi's frame of reference. Okay, now this Reb Chaim is an analysis of a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, but specifically the way the Rambam understands that Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with the famous case of a woman who's giving birth, and the situation is such that if the birth process is allowed to go to fruition as it would be in nature, she's going to die. The only way of saving her is by impeding the process of birth, which means that we have to destroy the nefesh of the rodef. I'm sorry, the nefesh of the embryo of the ubar.
Okay. What is rodef?
So that's the question. So the Gemara says that why, according to the Mishnah, the moment that the baby pops its head out, we can no longer destroy the baby, even if destroying the baby would save the mother. And the Gemara says the reason for that is karadfu min hashamayim, that it's not that the fetus is a rodev. A rodev requires, you know, some sort of action on the part of the rodev. Again, he might not be judged as someone who's guilty, but at least there's a redifa. Here it's radfu min hashamayim. You know, nature is taking its course, and there's no rodev. Therefore, once the baby pops its head out, we can no longer destroy the life of the baby in order to of the ubar in order to save the mother. That much it says in the Gemara. So we haven't yet seen the Rambam. The Rambam is gonna really throw us off course over here. Now, in the case where the baby has not yet popped its head out, then we destroy the baby in order to save the mother. And we're at a fork in the road here, because why? Why are we destroying the baby? One way is to say it is that the baby is a rodev, but that's impossible, because if you're going to tell me the baby is a rodev, then even after it pops its head out, we should kill the baby to save the mother. The other opportunity is to say that since the baby hasn't popped its head out, the baby is not considered a nefesh. It's an unborn fetus, and according to halacha, for the sake of saving the mother, even if there's no din of rodev, there's a din of pikuach nefesh, and for the sake of the pikuach nefesh of the mother, we are allowed to destroy, we can violate any issur in the Torah, including destroying the life of the fetus. The problem is going to be, as Reb Chaim is going to prove, that the Rambam Shita is that even the ubar, b'mei imo, before it pops the saddles, is considered a nefesh. Now, if the ubar is considered a nefesh, we have a serious problem, because there's a mission olos that formulates a rule of ein dochin nefesh b'fnei nefesh. We can't destroy one nefesh for the sake of another nefesh. The only exception to that rule is rodev. But as we saw before, the Gemara says that the baby is not considered a rodev. That's min hashamayim karadfu. So according to Reb Chaim, the Rambam was faced with this problem. He was caught in this contradiction. Why? Because the Rambam Shita is that the ubar is considered a nefesh. We're going to soon see how Reb Chaim proves this. For example, we're allowed to be Machal Shabbos for the sake of the ubar. We're allowed to be Machal Yom Kippur for the sake of the ubar. And there are many other dinim that apply to the ubar even before it pops its head out. So the ubar is a nefesh. Now we have to answer the following question. How does the halach, how does the Mishnah itself allow us to destroy the nefesh for the sake of the mother? If you can operate with the principle of rodev micha. And why is that? Because rodev allows you to kill one nefesh for the sake of saving another nefesh. But if you can assume that the ubar is not considered a rodev, and the proof is because the Mishnah says that once the ubar pops its head out, we cannot destroy the ubar, because min hashamayim radfu, so if the ubar is not a rodev, then l'chora the only possible head that you can come up with to destroy the ubar's life to save the mother is pikuach nefesh. But the problem is we have a principle called ein dochin nefesh mivnei nefesh. And if the ubar is in fact a nefesh, even before its birth, then how can we destroy the ubar's life for the sake of the mother's life? That's Reb Chaim's problem. So let's see it inside. I mean, again, this was my, you know, I'm pontificating here to give you what I hope is a good introduction.
Behind you.
You can take this photocopy here if you like.
Thank you.
Okay. So the Rambam opens up his discussion about rodev by telling us that rodev is not just a heter, it's not just a green light, you know, that we have license to kill the rodev. But moreover, if we don't kill the rodev, the Rambam says we violate a losaseh. And that's written in the Torah, in the Parsha of Rodef. It says, Lo Yochus al Nefesh Arodef. And therefore, the Chachamim issued the following halachic verdict or principle. Ubra, a pregnant woman, she makasha leila, she's having a lot of trouble at childbirth. Mutter lachtocha ubra b'meyeha, we can use any method that we need to destroy the life of the ubar in order to save the life of the mother.
Considering his opening introductory line, he shouldn't have said mutter, he should have said chayef.
Okay, that's going to come into Reb Chaim's discussion as well.
Oh, really?
But here's the main question, and the Rambam is addressing this question. What gives us the right to destroy the life of the ubar? And you and I would have said, because it's only an ubar. You know, who cares? You know, buses. You know, it's an ubar. And it's not a yulud, it's not born, it's not an nefesh. No, the Rambam says, Mipnesha hu kirodev. That is interesting because the Rambam adds a chof ha-dimyon. And that itself indicates a brisket tzvei didim. He is a rodev, but he's not a rodev. Okay. Achareha loharga. Now, wait a second. The Mishnah says that it's rafu min ha-shamayim. So the Rambam is aware of that. You can't tell me that the Uber is a full-fledged rodev. It's a quasi-rodev. But it's enough for a rodev that we can kill it. Could kill the Umar to save the mother.
But what were the status where the head is out of it?
No. This is before the head. Now we're going to get to the head going out. Says the Rambam, V'im mishahotzi rosho, ein nogimbo. We can't touch the Umar. Why? Because ein dochen nefesh mei nefesh. V'zeu tivo shel olam. Now these extra four words at the end is the Rambam rephrasing, if you will, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that karadfu min hashamayim karadfu. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the Mishnah, that's the Gemara. But the Gemara says that the reason why, once its head is out, we can't touch it, and why not save the mother's life by destroying the nefesh of the ubar? And the answer is min hashamayim karadfile. So the Rambam calls it zeu tivo shel olam. Hare, what we see from the Gemara, this is Reb Chaim talking, to lo avi rodev. And that's why the Rambam ends his discussion by saying, "Mitneishezeu tivo shel olam, ratzalom rakach al kain or al korach lo avi rodev." In kain heich kosev a Rambam, in the Reisha, the Rambam says that below yatzarosh we can kill the uber to save the mother because he's a rodev or a kir rodev. Is kain shebeemes lo choshiv rodev? So again, how do we reconcile the Rambam with the Mishnah, which is interpreted by the Gemara to mean that after the Uber pops its head out, you cannot kill the Uber because the Uber is not a Rodev, and yet the Rambam says before it pops its head out, the Uber is a Rodev. You know, it's no more of a Rodev while it's in its mother's womb than it is after it pops its head out. It's still the same Rodev, and therefore it should be considered Rodev even after it pops its head out. We have no problem with killing a person, even a live human being, even the Gol Adar, if he's a Rodev. That's what the Torah says we have to do. Ubetama Mishnah, when the Mishnah itself, leaving out the Rambam, Tzarech Lomar, Delohachi Delo Yotza Rosho Horgino, so Mishum Dadain Lo Avi Nefesh. So if not for the Rambam, we could have squared with the Mishnah, and we would have said the following, that we killed the Uber not because of a Din Rodef, there's no Din of Rodef on the Uber, because of a Neshamayim Rodfu, but rather because it's not a Nefesh. And therefore, when we come to the mother is a full-fledged Nefesh, and we have a mitzvah Pikuach Nefesh, so we could be Doche, the Uber, who's not a Nefesh, for the sake of the Nefesh of the mother. And we can be docha any Easter in the Torah, except for the big three, right, for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. And she is a full-fledged Nefesh, and therefore for her Pikuach Nefesh, we can be docha the Ubar. But the Rambam says that the reason why we kill the Ubar before it pops its head out is because of the Din Rodev. V'tzarechim, the Din Rodev, haray lekin afkamina be yotzerosh al
yotzerosh. Meaning you guys use the Nefesh. You wouldn't be called...
Correct. And Reb Chaim is going to spend a lot of time here trying to prove to you that the Ubar is in fact a Nefesh, and the principle of Ein Dochen Nefesh from the Nefesh applies even to an Ubar before it pops its head out. Hence, we don't understand how we can kill the Ubar and violate the principle of Ein Dochen Nefesh from the Nefesh unless, as the Rambam salvages this whole problem, the Ubar is a Rodef. That's the only way you can violate Ein Docha Nefesh Nei Nefesh. But again, that's going to lead us to a problem, not only because the Rambam is against the Sugya, but because the Rambam himself admits that there is no din of a Rodef here when the Rambam addresses the case of Hotzi as Rosho, and the Rambam says he can't even touch him. Says the Rambam, because he's not a Rodef. It's Zeu Tivu Shalola. So why don't you apply that same principle to the Loyot Tzerub Shalom and say that he's not a Rodef? Elo, what? You can tell me he's not a Nefesh. Well, if he's not a Nefesh, why does the Rambam introduce the issue of Rodef? The status of a Rodef. The Rambam holds that Pikuch Nefesh would be Docha the Nefesh of the Uber, if not for what? If not for Rodef. Meaning that the Rambam is imposing the shame Rodef on this Ubar, because otherwise the Rambam doesn't understand within the context of Dochin Nefesh Nei Nefesh and Ein Dochin Nefesh Nei Nefesh and Pikuach Nefesh, we don't have a justification to take the life of the Ubar for the sake of the mother. I remember when I was a child, They used to ask, again, this was my upbringing, you know, in the Veldt. I'm not talking about what my Rebbeim would say to me, but in the Veldt they used to say, Judaism is different than Christianity. Right? Apparently in Christianity, I don't know enough about Christianity, but the mother's going to die.
Catholicism.
So we brag about Judaism that in Judaism, no, we're gonna save the mother's life. Yeah. And not so poshut. You know, that's good to tell a child, but it's really not so. Because when we're thinking about it, the real truth is that the mother is going to die. What do I mean? If the child pops its head out, then min hashamayim karad fu, he's not a rodent. And again, you'll ask me, why does Judaism say that we're going to kill the Uber to save the mother? That's for a whole different reason. I'm not sure what that reason is. It's one of two possibilities. Either because the Uber is not a Nefesh if it didn't pop its head out, or because it's a Rodef. But either way, I mean, this is not an ethical judgment that, you know, we kill an Uber to save the mother. That's such an oversimplification, if you follow what I'm saying. Yeah. There are halachic rules here that apply. You know, it's this is min hashamayim. These are gzeiros hakosuv. These are halachic principles, and it, we're not making some sort of an ethical judgment about, you know, whose life is greater than others. Certainly not according to the Rambam, because the reason why we're killing the Ubar is not because we're making a judgment that the Uber's nefesh is inferior to the mother's nefesh. We're killing the Uber. Midin Rodef. As I state in the Rambam.
Why don't we say that before he puts his head out, he's not a nefesh? Once he puts his head out, we have a mutual redifa.
Okay. So then, if we have a mutual redifa, then it's, I guess, shevi altas, then we have to let nature take its course. But now you're saying that the Uber is a rodev, right, a rodev. And if that be the case, then we understand why the Rambam will destroy the life of the nefesh. But to say that the Uber is not a nefesh, that the Rambam doesn't say. In other words, in Hilchas Nefesh, all things are equal here. The Nefesh of the Ubar has the same status in Halach as the Nefesh of the mother. And we cannot apply the principle of Pikuach Nefesh to save the mother, destroy the, again without Rodin, and destroy the life, the Nefesh of the Ubar. Because we have a principle of Ein Docha Nefesh from the Nefesh, and that applies to an Ubar no less than it applies to any Nefesh. Now, if the problem is clear, then we can move on to the solution of the problem. The solution of the problem is not so clear, but we can work together on this solution. So let's say that today we're not necessarily learning Masechet Ksubos. You know, we're taking a little bit of a break. Hopefully we'll get back to Masechet Ksubos, depending upon how we do in the next 15 minutes. Okay. Reb Chaim lays down one assumption, which he proves from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the whole enterprise, the whole entity of a Rodef, and all the dinim of killing the Rodef, is based, it can be reduced to one principle, and that is Hatzolas HaNirdaf. In fact, The Gemara tells us that if there's no element here or no possibility of Hatzolas HaNirdav, or alternatively, if Hatzolas HaNirdav can be achieved without killing the Rodev, then there's no din of Rodev. So therefore, Rodev Shahir Rodev Achar Chaver Lahargov Yochel Atzilo B'Yachin Be'Varav, if we can save the Nidav without killing the Rodev, then killing the Rodev would be Ritzicha.
This is something that you actually want to tell Yosef, because the rabbi explained this to me yesterday when you were here. That as long as you can stop the Rodev by killing by one of his Avarim, yeah, it's not called a Rodev.
And if you kill him,
the only way you can stop him is by killing him.
I knew that would enlighten you because it changed a lot of the. I thought of that.
And that you'll see that in Reb Chaim here.
Thank you.
Quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Do you see it inside? Again, I'm trying to expedite things and speed it up. So I'm talking more than I'm reading here. But if you read it inside, you'll see that the status of a Rodev, which means we kill the Rodev, is simply based on Atzos HaNirda. If killing the Rodev will not be the necessary or the successful step in saving the Nidav, then he's not a Rodev. And there's no din of Harigas a Rodev. On the contrary, if you kill the Rodev, you chayv Misa for that. Okay. So what's the gewaldige chiddush here of Hatzolas HaNirdav? I mean, after all, Pikuach Nefesh is a well-known principle. I don't need a parsha of Rodev for Pikuach Nefesh. It's v'chayv ma'am v'lo shiyomis ma'am. Which means that we're going to save the Nirdav at all costs. The answer is ein doka nefesh mei nefesh, that we don't have a right to take one nefesh for the sake of another nefesh. That's where we need the parsha of Rodev, and that's where the Torah says lo lochus al nefesh harodev. Ratzal lomar, the Torah, by saying lo lochus al nefesh harodev, is teaching me that we should suspend the operation or the application of the principle of ein doka nefesh mei nefesh. And therefore, the Torah is telling me that we're going to be docha nefesh. Whose nefesh are we going to be docha? The nefesh of the Rodev. By what virtue, by what power, are we able to override and violate the principle ein docha nefesh nefesh? Instead, we will be docha nefesh m'nei nefesh. The answer is for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdav. And now you're a Rodev, and now we're going to be docha your nefesh for the sake of the nefesh HaNirdav. Okay, that's where you can press the return button. He actually has a few spaces here.
and if you injure the Rodev in order to stop him from doing this, and now he's not considered a Rodev because
it's impossible
to stop him, who's responsible for that damage? The Nezik. So you broke his leg.
No.
You shot him in
the leg. It goes like this. There are two dinim in a Rodev. There's a Rodev shenitan latzilo be'echad me'varav, and there's a Rodev she'ief shola. You know, ain matzilo
no
sir.
You have to kill him, period.
Right. Both are included under the pash of Rodev. But the din of dochen nefesh b'nei nefesh, you know, that we could go as far as taking his life,
yeah,
that's contingent on the impossibility of saving the nirdof in any other way. But if you have another way of doing so then the halach of Rodev and the mitzvah of Rodev tells you that you can violate the iser of injuring a person for the sake of pikuach nefesh. The gewaldige chiddush of the parsha of Rodev is that we're going to be docha nefesh. You know, we're not talking here about injuring a person. And how can you be docha nefesh for the sake of another nefesh? That's not within the purview of pikuach nefesh. The answer is that here the Torah was machadesh a parsha of Rodev, and it undermines and suspends the ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh, telling me that we will be docha nefesh v'nei nefesh because that nefesh is the nefesh had Rodev, and the other nefesh is the nefesh HaNirdav. For the sake of saving the nefesh HaNirdav, we're going to kill the Rodev. Now, Reb Chaim at this point raises the following Chakira. Let me present one side of the Chakira. One side of the Chakira is that when we kill the Rodev for the sake of saving the Nirdav, that's called V'chai Bohem V'lo Shiyomus Bohem. Again, if not for the parasha of Rodev, I would never have applied the principle of V'chai Bohem in this case to violate a dechias hanefesh. You know, dechias hanefesh is not, is normally not within the purview of a chai b'hem, you know, because that's called ein dofish nefesh mei nefesh.
Right.
So the limits, the upper limit of a chai b'hem is when there's no dechias hanefesh. Once it's dechias hanefesh, you've passed the upper limit and the outer bounds of a chai b'hem. So the chai b'hem does not have in and of itself the power to be docha nefesh. Comes along the Torah and says, no, there's one case in which the chai b'hem is empowered with the almost endless power that we could be docha another nefesh for the sake of a chai b'hem.
That's Rodev.
And that's the case of Rodev. Yeah. That's one way Reb Chaim presents it. The other way Reb Chaim presents is the following. Forget about the chai b'hem. The chai b'hem is not going to take you anywhere in this case. There's no such thing as being docha nefesh for the chai b'hem. The Torah is creating a brand new principle here called Hatzolas HaNirdof with its own rules and regulations. This is a new parasha called Hatzolas HaNirdof, which allows you to be docha nefesh. This is not pikuach nefesh. So again, the first way of understanding it is that we're applying pikuach nefesh. We'll soon see that pikuach nefesh doesn't apply to a guy, for example, right? There is no v'chai b'hem by a guy. So a guy has to give up his life for any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach.
And it's because of shlichut amin, that the three mitzvot that you're never allowed to violate, one of them is shlichut
amin. So that would push us towards the second definition of Reb Chaim, that this cannot be subsumed on the v'chai b'hem. There's no way the v'chai b'hem would have the power to override shfichas damin. Correct?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to introduce now a whole new parsha of Hatzolas HaNirdof, which allows me to take away the nefesh of the rodeh, if it's not pikuach nefesh. And Reb Chaim is going to prove to you over and over again that we're not dealing with pikuach nefesh. Okay, then let's read it inside. He says, "Akati yeshlus topic im kol akzeres akosav de rodev hu rak bi atzmo shel a rodev she idocher bifnei pikuach nefesh shel a nirdov aval ikar atzol shel a nirdov hu midin pikuach nefesh shel kol a torah kula." In other words, we have a principle called pikuach nefesh, and that applies to the nefesh a nirdov. Once you press the button, let's say the computer registers that we have Hatzolas HaNirdof and we have Pikuach Nefesh. Now the Torah adds another din. And what's that other din? That din is that we can even take the Nefesh HaRodev for the sake of the Pikuach Nefesh of the Nirdof. But again, according to this tzad, we'll call it Roman numeral number one in Reb Chaim, ultimately, what's happening here is that we're activating pikuach nefesh. So what's on the screen? On the screen is v'chai b'hem, pikuach nefesh. The problem is that how does pikuach nefesh allow you to kill someone? That's the halach of Rodev, which establishes, listen carefully, that for the sake of pikuach nefesh and the nirdof of v'chai b'hem, we can now take the nefesh of Rodev. So that's a din in the nefesh HaRodev that what normally would be a blockage of pikuach nefesh, what normally would say ad kan, but you cannot apply pikuach nefesh here because there's a nefesh HaRodev. So the Torah says no, there's a din about the nefesh HaRodev that we can be docha the nefesh HaRodev. But ultimately, at the end of the day, why are we being docha the nefesh? Well, again, the Torah says you're allowed to be docha the nefesh HaRodev, and that's a din in the Rodev. But what sets this whole process into motion is the pikuach nefesh of the nirdof, and that's a universal principle of pikuach nefesh of the nirdof. The only problem is that pikuach nefesh of the nirdof faces a blockage, and what's that blockage? It's ein dochin. We don't have the right to take the nefesh of the rodev. Here's where the Torah adds a gzeres akosiv in the nefesh al rodev, that we're allowed to take the nefesh al rodev for the sake of the pikuach nefesh of the nirdof. But at the end of the day, it's pikuach nefesh of the nirdof. And what that means is, Rabosai, because I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions, that the parsha of rodev is always going to be limited by pikuach nefesh, which means that if I have a case where there's no pikuach nefesh and the Torah doesn't say v'chai b'hem, then forget about killing the rodev. Why? Because there is no pikuach nefesh here to set into motion the process of v'chai b'hem, meaning of let's do whatever we can for the sake of saving the Nirda, because there is no V'chai Bohem in this case. If we find the case, again, we haven't mentioned the case yet, that's what V'chaim is all about over here, where there's no V'chai Bohem, then there would be no Parsha of killing the Rodev. That's in the first side of
the
Parsha.
Of hurting the Rodev either.
Okay,
I
don't know why, gentlemen, you're so focused on injury, and I can't do it.
I'm just following the logic,
you're right. Everything you say is correct, but I'm just trying to focus.
Okay, we'll save that for a minute.
I'm just trying to focus on the Reb Chaim here. I want to get to Tzadim and Reb Chaim.
Let me emphasize on Reb Chaim. If there were no parshas or rodev in the Torah, Reb Chaim is saying that, just to make sure I understand, saying that if I saw someone about to kill somebody else, there wouldn't be any hatzos nefoshos, because a nefesh reason to stop the first the rotzeach by killing him. There would be
correct.
I'd have to let him kill the other guy.
Correct, because the ultimate limitation of pikuach nefesh of a chai bohem is ein doche nefesh v'nei nefesh. So the pikuach nefesh, which is a universal principle that allows me to do many, many different things, including violating the Shabbos, but it doesn't allow me to be doche nefesh.
Okay.
Because the rodef is still considered a nefesh. Now the chiddush of pikuach nefesh in the case of rodef is that the pikuach nefesh is going to allow me to snub out the rodef, again, because the parsha of rodef is going to add another element to the equation, that the nefesh anirda is not like a normal nefesh, right? It's a nefesh which can be sacrificed for the sake of the bikuach nefesh of the nirdav. Okay? Now Reb Chaim ultimately is going to reject this possibility, but I just want you to see in the abstract world of the mind of Reb Chaim how this possibility exists. Oh, now we get to the second possibility. The nema, degam ikar hatzol asher al nirdav, in other words, the parsha of V'chai Bohem doesn't apply here. It's overridden or replaced by a new parsha called Rodev. And in that parsha of Rodev, the Torah tells me that to save the Nirdof, we're going to kill the Rodev. This is not within the purview of V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem has completely exhausted itself. It hit that upper barrier, and it's neutralized, so you don't have a chai bohem. The Torah is now being mechadesh a new parsha of Hatzolas HaNirdof, which tells me that within this new parsha there's a mechanism by which we can kill the Rodev for the sake of saving the Nirdof. V'udin Hatzolah b'fnei atzma, this is not to be subsumed under the universal principle of a chai bohem. And it's a new din, he calls it b'fnei atzma, milvad din pikuach nefesh al kol HaTorah kula v'tzarech im. This is not pikuach nefesh. This is not v'chai bohem. This is not a universal mechanics with one change, right? But rather, it's a whole new entity. And how do I know this? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes the following principle, that we derive the halacha of rodev. Where does the Torah say rodev? So the Gemara suggests that we should derive it from the pasuk that says shofech dama adam be'adam dama yishofech, that someone who's threatening to kill someone should be killed. That pasuk is in which parsha in the Torah?
Noach.
It's in parshas Noach. God is addressing Bnei Noach, and he says that you will kill someone to save someone else. And if you take a look in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Gemara is going to apply the rules of Rodev to a guy as well. So for example, if a Nachri is running, you know, again, the Goyim don't care about what we tell them is their law, you understand? But we really should be mandating their laws, right? And the law is that if a Nachri is running after a Nachri to kill him, then we're going to apply the same rules that we apply in the parasha of Rodev. For example, you kill the Rodev, number two, if you can save the Nirdav by knocking off his feet, you know, and Echamei Varav, that's, yeah. All these apply, and the Rambam codifies this in Perek Tes Milchus Melachim. Perek Tes Milchus Melachim is dedicated exclusively to the laws of Bnei Noach. And all the laws of Rodev appear and are codified by the Rambam together with the laws of Bnei Noach. Harei lehedja, dim eino yochel lahatzil latzilo bi'echem eivarv, matzilo so benafsh shal rodev, gam b'bnei Noach. So the Gemara is saying that if there's no other way of saving the Nirdof, who's John Paul Jones, if we don't kill Christopher Fitzgerald, then we have to kill Fitzgerald. Meaning that the parasha of Rodev applies to a guy. Frekt Reb Chaim, I don't understand it. And again, this is also a sugi in Sanhedrin, but not the same sugi, it's a different sugi. Harei lo matzinu din pikuach nefesh ben Noach. In the case of Ben Noach, the law of pikuach nefesh doesn't apply when the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim v'chaim, it's addressing Bnei Yisrael, not Bnei Noach, which has tremendous ramifications in the laws of Bnei Noach. You know, there's no such thing as violating the law of Ben Noach for the sake of pikuach nefesh, because there's no v'chaim by Ben Noach. Again, that's a sugya unto itself, not for us now. So let's just accept that as amunas chachamim. Elavadai, if there's a parasha of Rodev, and indeed according to one man, the entire parasha of Rodev, even for Yisrael, is derived from the parasha of Ben Noach. Harei vadai, havigzeres hakotz v'neatzma lahatzel and near the benashe shel rov ein zev shayach lepikuach nefesh kol torku. There is no pikuach nefesh by Ben Noach. So how could there be Rodev by Ben Noach if the entire mechanics or the mechanism, shall we say, of Rodev is fundamentally generated by pikuach nefesh, then it cannot apply to Ben Noach. If it applies to Ben Noach, it must be a brand new parasha. Again, you and I would have said against Reb Chaim that maybe with regard to Ben Noach it's a brand new parasha, but with regard to Yisrael it's the old pikuach nefesh parasha. Right. But we can't say that because we're now holding that the source for Rodev in Klal Yisrael for our dinim is Ben Noach. So we can't, you know, dial of Amin Adin. You know, we're just cloning the law of Ben of Rodev for Ben Noach onto Ben Yisrael. Oh, here's the second proof. The Gemara eventually, again, we have the parasha in Ben Noach, which is Shofech Dama Adam Midomo Yishofech, and the Gemara questions about, you know, whether we can derive halachas because that's before Matan Torah, you know, Nitna Torah v'Nischach Halach. I don't remember all the details of the sugya Ayin Shom. So the Gemara offers another alternative as to how we know that you can kill the Rodev to save the Nirdav, and we derive it from the parasha of Arayos. Because the Gemara has three extra words in the parasha of Arayos, and that's Ein Moshiyallah. And the Gemara says that if there was Moshiyallah, it means somebody could save her before the rape, then he could even kill that person. Frekt Reb Chaim, what's going on? If the source for Rodev is the parasha of Rodev Achar HaIsha, right, for running after an Erva, she's not about to die. Then again, you and I could say maybe she'll die from it, but we're assuming now that her life is not in danger, and yet we can kill the Rodev in order to spare her the Arayas situation. And from that we derive the conclusion that we can kill a Rodev to save the Nirdav. Elavada, if we're not talking about a Vachaybam situation, Hamidin Bifneyatzma of Hatzolas HaNirdov, even at the expense of killing the Rodev. Whether it means Hatzolas HaNirdov, who's about to die in the case of Hariga, or Hatzolas HaNirdov, who's about to be raped in the case of an Erva. Asher Lefi Zeh, Nira Loma, again here I would again press the return button, Nira Loma B'das HaRambam, Dilahochi Havi, Dilahochi Hukos of Taima Di Ubar, Hukirodev Achreel Laharga. Why does the Rambam feel compelled to introduce a Rodev status for the Ubar in order to justify the halach of killing the Ubar? Mishum desvirele, debidin pikuach nefesh shall call it tarkula beemes havidina degama. I would underline this. This is really a breakthrough. Gam Ubar hu bichlal nefesh. Now, Rabosa, you may say that's not a big chiddush, but it is a big chiddush because a lot of Rishonim are going to learn that we kill the Uber before it pops its head up because it's not a nefesh.
He said it so himself.
But now the Rambam is saying, no, the Uber is considered a nefesh. This is a pretty radical breakthrough. I mean, this has to do with abortion. For example, Let's say a guy is about to abort a baby. I don't care whether it's a Jewish baby or not baby. I would kill him. According to Allah. That's pretty radical, right? Go into a hospital with a gun.
Kill the abortionist.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill the you know, Dr. Fitzgerald because he's about to perform an abortion because he's about to take a nefesh. And he's a Rodev. Yeah. And again, I'm not going into detail here, but just keep these five words in mind when you go through Shas that Reb Chaim holds, that an uber hu bechlal nefesh. Once the uber is bechlal nefesh, then pikuach nefesh of the mother will in no way, no how, allow me to take the nefesh of the uber. So forget about Rode for a second. Let's assume, let's argue that the uber is not a rode, which it seems from the Gemara and the Rambam himself, the uber is not a rode. But let's assume rode doesn't apply here. We're really, really stuck, because if not for the din of rode and this new parsha of rode, which is with its own unique halachas, if we were only operating in let's say the moral realm of v'chai bohem, that we should save the mother, we would not be able to destroy the fetus, no way, no how, even before it's born. Again, I don't know what month we're in here of pregnancy. This is another, you know, this you have to read the you know, the journal of all these journals, you know, because is it 30 days, is it 40 days, is it 3 months, you can manage. But whatever it is, the uber is about to be born. It's a nefesh. Is ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh. There's no din of hatzola here that pikuach nefesh would allow me to kill the ubar. The ubar is a nefesh. You can't touch the ubar. And the Rambam is faced with this problem, because the Rambam holds that the ubar is bechlal nefesh. Al kein hacha, how could we here in this context justify killing the ubar? It cannot be based on pikuach nefesh shekol haTorah kula. But the answer is, we're not operating with pikuach nefesh shekol haTorah kula. If we were operating within pikuach nefesh kol haTorah kula, we could no way that we could be docha the nefesh of the ubar. The answer is, we're operating in a whole different realm. This has nothing to do with v'chai bohem. This has to do with a new parasha called Rodev. Val kein gam hocha im banu l'adam idin pikuach nefesh kol haTorah kula lo haya ubar nidche mipnei nafsha shel ha'ein v'rak bedin hatzola. Hamura bin Nirda, it's a whole din, a new parsha which he calls the parsha Vatsola, to save a Nirdaf from the Rodev. Here is a din that doche nefesh b'fnei nefesh, that we could be doche the nefesh of the Rodev for the sake of the Nirdaf. Vatsola sa Nirdaf. And that's what the Rama means when he says that we kill the ubar to save the mother, because hareyu kirodef achreha lahorga. Again, we're only halfway there, because again, that doesn't explain that our main question, which is in the case where he pops his head out, and then we no longer can destroy the nefesh ha-ubar because of what? Because he's not a rodef, right? Min hashmai radfu tezeu tivo shalolam, says the Rama. Why don't you apply that in the case of Lohotzi Rosho? Do you follow? We're only halfway there.
And he didn't explain Kirov.
He's aware of that. I mean, don't think Reb Chaim is going to let us down here. You know, he's not finito yet. Okay. So we're up to the paragraph Yisod Dovers. Now in this paragraph, Reb Chaim is going to strengthen our position in the Rambam that the ubar is a nefesh, which means, now, what's our barometer for the status of an ubar as a nefesh? One way of going would be to say ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh, but Reb Chaim is going to take a different approach. Reb Chaim wants to know, would you be doche all the mitzvahs of the Torah, again I'm not talking about the big three, for the sake of the pikuach nefesh of the ubar? And that would depend upon whether the ubar is considered a nefesh. So Reb Chaim has already formulated the Shitas HaRambam that the ubar is considered a nefesh. Hence, the only way we can kill the uber is based on the new parsha Vatzolsa Nirdov of Rodev. But now Reb Chaim takes a step back and he says that the most useful barometer to decide whether or not something is a nefesh, in this case the Uber is a nefesh or not, is going to be v'chaybohem. Does Hatzolas Uber override the laws of the Torah? He says, Hare had bikuach nefesh docha kol haTorah kula yalfin la biyuma daf pehe mikra de v'chaybohem v'lo sheyomus bohem. Kol shenichal b'chlal v'chaybohem doches kol haYisurim.
Except
just one
three.
Second. Except for the three. Again, leave out the three, because it's only going to confuse you. Leave out the three. B'dochas ha'isurim. Just one second. I just lost the reading here. Okay. Kol shenichal b'chlal v'chaybohem b'dochas ha'isurim. Oh, okay. So he's saying the following. That if you want to know whether or not the principle of ein dochin nefesh b'fnei nefesh should apply to a particular nefesh, then klach lecha, you should use the following barometer. Is that nefesh that you want to be docha included in the v'chaybohem principle that's docha yisurim? So he has a Mishnah in Yuma about an isha sheyashva la mashber, which means she's it's Yom HaKippurim. I'm sorry, we didn't get, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Anyway, there's a pregnant woman and she smells food on Yom Kippur. And this is a very great danger. And therefore, machilin osa achit toshuv nafsha. So again, don't mistakenly come to the conclusion that pregnant women should not fast on Yom Kippur. That's not true at all. A pregnant woman fasts on Yom Kippur. But there are scenarios in which we will tell the pregnant woman to eat. Now, here we have machlokas rishonim. What does it mean that we tell it to eat? Are we trying to save her life, or are we trying to save the life of the ubar? Now, Reb Chaim assumes, I don't have time to go through the sugya of Yuma, so please, you know, check this out. I don't know enough to evaluate this. But Reb Chaim assumes that everyone, all the rishonim agree, that if we're just to save the fetus, we would allow her to eat. The Mandiyomer who says that the sakone is to the mother, he understood that the fetus would not die in this situation. We could save the fetus. We may have to do some sort of surgery, but we can save. So again, the machlokas here is whether or not there is a sakone to the uber. But if there would be a sakone to the uber, kuli alma lo pligi, that we would violate Yom Kippur for the sake of Hatzolas HaUbar and allow her to eat under the law of V'chaybohem.
Applying to?
To the Uber. That we see that Uber. The Uber is included in V'chaybohem. If that be the case, then if he's included in V'chaybohem, it means the Torah recognizes him as a Nefesh. Hence, we would apply the principle of Ein Docha Nefesh B'fnei Nefesh. So we would not be allowed to kill the Uber for the sake of the mother unless it was a new parasha of Rodef, which generates a new din of Hatzolas HaNirdof, even if it means killing a nefesh. Without the principle of Hatzolas HaNirdof, meaning the new parsha of Rodef, we would not be able to kill the Ubar, because the Ubar is included under V'chaybohem, which means that the Ubar is considered a nefesh. If the Ubar is considered a nefesh, then ain't the nefesh and a nefesh. There's no way that Pikuach Nefesh of the mother could allow us to take the life of the Ubar. Which is a fascinating conclusion. Again, I just get very excited about this, because it's not the way your amcha understands the halacha. You know, the people I think who really misunderstand the halacha, and they think that we're making a judgment call about, you know, whose life is redder than whose life, and whether the fetus's life is more important than the mother's life. And we boast that our ethical system as Jews is that the mother's life is greater than that of the Uber. Reb Chaim's not saying that. Reb Chaim is saying that the Uber has the same right to live as the mother. And if not for the parish of Rodev, again, we don't know exactly how this parasha of Rodev is going to help us here, but if not for the parasha of Rodev, we would allow nature to take its course, and the mother would die. That's basically what's happening over here. The mother's going to die, and the Uber will survive, because the Uber is a nefesh, and ain't dechon no nefesh. So you'll yell and scream, what about the pikuach nefesh of the mother? Well, there's also pikuach nefesh of the Uber. And the Uber also has a right to live, and the Uber comes on the v'chaybohem. You know, this is like an anti-abortion lecture over here, right? because we're waving the flag of the Ubar. There's a whole organization, I forgot what it's called, Pu'ah, maybe it's called that. They tried to convince women who would go for an abortion not to have an abortion. Save the life of the Ubar, so to speak. Oh, it's called Efrat. Okay, so this is not a fundraiser for Efrat, but I'm sure Reb Chaim would be up there at the head of the fundraisers. Send Reb Chaim Brisker to knock on your door to raise money for Efrat. And what are you going to tell him? Oh, let the Uber die. Who cares? Says Reb Chaim Nein, how can you say who cares? The Uber is no less of a nefesh than the mother is. And we have to do everything that we can to save the Uber. If it means that the mother will eat on Yom Kippur, that's what she'll do for the sake of the Uber. Because the Uber is v'chai b'hem, it's a nefesh. And now you want to kill the Uber for the sake of the mother? Ain't docheh nefesh v'nei nefesh. Now, there's an entire section here which I'm going to skip because it's a real digression. The Rambam has a very ambiguous position, and it's unknown to us whether the Rambam holds that the Uber is a nefesh. But let me clarify this. What we're talking about is an early stage in the development of the Ubar. However, Reb Chaim works very hard to prove that once the Ubar is in the state of what's called Yeshiva Lamashpia, she's sitting and she's in labor. In other words, in that case, he has proofs that the Rambam would definitely agree that the Uber is a nefesh. Earlier, I don't know. That's very complicated. Exactly how we... But anyway, in our context, where we're studying this Rambam in Perek Aleph Tes Vilnis Rotzeach, and the issue is whether we can kill the Uber to save the mother, that certainly is the Uber that has the status of a nefesh. The Rambam is also on board here because we're talking about Yosheves al Mashbir, and at that developed stage in the Uber's life, certainly the Uber is a nefesh. Again, even before it pops its head out. So just fast forwarding to the last three lines of the right column, the Alkein Mefarsha Rambam, that the fact that we can destroy the life of the Uber in order to save the mother when the Uber has not yet been born, who did misuyam, this is a brand new halacha, b'din atzola, to save the mother, ha'amura bin nirdaf, again only because her status is that of a nirdaf, and the baby, the fetus I should say, because it hasn't yet popped, it has the status of a rodef. The Uber nidche. Oh, now watch this.
Uh-huh.
Here, mm-hmm. Reb Chaim says the following. Just one second. Wait, just give me a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize. Now, at this point, Reb Chaim introduces a concept here. Do you see these words here? The Uber Nitcha Mibnei Nefesh Gomor. I wish Reb Chaim would have embellished this and clarified this.
In other words, she has a status.
Unless I missed something in the skipping, but I'm pretty sure I didn't miss anything. What?
She has a status. It's like a sort of a chazaka that she's alive, as opposed to the Ubar that is just coming into that status but hasn't achieved it yet.
Wait, just one second. Give me a minute. We have a new din of Atzolas HaNirdof. Just one second. Just give me a second here. What is happening here? We have a din of Atzolas HaNirdof, and that's going to allow me to be Docha Nefesh. Now, let's just understand how this works. Because again, ultimately, our goal is to understand that once the Uber pops its head out, then we no longer apply the principle of Rodef. And we're not going to save the mother by killing the Uber. So Reb Chaim is forced to introduce here another element in the equation. I'm trying to think if this maybe undermines everything we've been saying. So I'm trying to see if we can salvage everything. What's he saying here? That what's this new din? This new din is going to tell me that we are docha one nefesh mei nefesh. So I thought what Reb Chaim is going to say is that the ubar is considered a rodef, and therefore there's no issue here about ein docha nefesh mei nefesh, because under the laws of atzolos anirdof mei rodef, the Torah says that there's a din in the rodef that you can kill the rodef. And he doesn't have rights to hold on to his nefesh, because we have to do everything that we can to save a nirda from a rodef. Although in Pilgus Bikuch Nefesh that would not be sufficient. But now Reb Chaim has introduced another element into the equation. That it's not just that the baby is a rodef, but that we have to add another element, and that is the baby is a nefesh she'eino gomur. So again, I don't know if we have a total clarity here and a grasp on what Reb Chaim means by nefesh eino gomur. Let's just see what Reb Chaim is going to say in the next paragraph, and then I think we can regroup, so to speak. Ela d'lefi zeh gam etzem mishnasenu tzricha iyun de'me'achad mishmaya karad filei v'lo avi rodef klal Asher mishum zeh biyotzer rosho ein nogim v'avlo min ishtitcha nafsho b'shvil nefesh ha'em mishum delo avi rodef klal. Im kein amay b'lo yotzer rosho horgin oso mishum din atzolos ha'nirdof kein the ein kan din rodef klal. Okay, that's the original kash of Reb Chaim.
Well, except in other words, he's equating his status from sent outside from the status that he's had inside. I mean, once he's not a rodef,
and he doesn't understand why should we make that distinction again? Unless he comes back to this nefesh ein gomer business, you follow what I mean?
Right.
I think in the previous paragraph he's sort of hinting at what he's about to present here, the difference between a nefesh gomer and nefesh ein gomer. But at this point, he's sort of oblivious to that distinction, and therefore he's asking, well, since the Gemara establishes, and that's what the Mishnah is based on, says the Gemara, that this baby, this fetus, is not a rodev. If it's not a rodev, then again, we're back to square one, because even before it pops its head out, since we've established that it has a din of a nefesh, how could the Hatzolos HaNirdof allow me to kill the baby? It's aimed off for nefesh and nefesh. The only possibility is to add to the equation, which the Rambam did here, the din of a rodev. But the Gemara says that after pops it set out, it's not a rodev. So again, let's read it one more time. It says, "Sarach im me'achadim shmaikol rad filei lo avi rodev asher mishum zeyot zerot shei no gibo." And we're not going to say that we can be docha nefesh for a nefesh, because what? Here we don't have a rodev. Is what about before it's yotzer rosho? How could we kill it to save the nirdav? Ein kan din rodev kla.
Vitzarach iv. That's after the head comes out.
They're saying that even before the head comes out.
He's asking the following question: that once we've proved that once the head comes out, we can't kill the rodev because he's not a rodev. That's what the Gemara says, that mishmaim korat filei. So lo avi rodev klal. You want to underline those words?
Yeah.
Then let's say the same thing before it pops its head out. Ein kan rodev klal.
Right.
And again, you'll tell me, well, we're going to save the mother and kill the baby. We can't kill the baby without a din of rodev because the baby has the status of a nefesh and ain't doch nefesh mei nefesh. So I think, again, I don't want to prejudice you, but I think that right now, if we press the return button, the last paragraph in this Reb Chaim, which is the finale, and for some reason Reb Chaim is very short-winded here, I think he's introducing a Tzvei Dinim. A Tzvei Dinim in Rodef, which is hopefully going to help me understand the Birkat Shmuel that we started with today. Asheyira muchach mizeh bozeh, again, we have to underline these words, right? Etzem din rode.
What does that mean?
Okay, so keep in mind he's using the phrase din rode. Okay, din rode. You'll see in a minute he contrasts that with what he calls a chir rode. But right now he only has a din rode. And he wants to claim that an ubar has a din of a rodef. Whether it's before it pops its head out or after it pops its head out, it has a din of a rodef. Which means we're going to have to reinterpret Mishmaim Korad Filei. But that's not Reb Chaim's, you know, creation. You know, you can't hold him responsible. That's the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that the Uber is Kirodev, despite the fact that it's Tivo Shel Olam and the Nishmaim Karatfei. So you see that the status of Rodev applies to the Uber, because the Uber, through the birth process, is endangering the life of the mother.
Yeah, but by definition, a Rodev is a volitional act.
No, it's not.
Not here.
That's going to be the Chir Rodef, but the Din Rodef has nothing to do with volitional. The Din Rodef means that if there's a situation which endangers, if a person, because of his or her, you know, matav, you know, mitzius, yeah, is endangering the life of someone who otherwise would survive, that's called a Din Rodef, with or without volition or intention. Take away intention. Like, for example, the Gemara is going to say that a katan, a rodef achar a gadol, or even achar katan, lahargo, we kill the katan. Even though a katan doesn't really have volition. Again, I don't know. You know, maybe a katan does have volition, but let's assume it doesn't have volition. Vidin rodef bay. Bay is referring to the umar. So there's a din of a rodef in the umar. Ella. So now we have to go back to the rules and regulations of the parasha of Rodev and this new din of Hatzolas HaNirdov that allows me to take a nefesh. Does that is the mechanics such that as long as there's a din Rodev, then for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdov we can be docha nefesh? All we need is a din Rodev. So Chaim says no, the din Rodev is not enough. So you have A, Hatzolas HaNirdov, you have B, a din of a Rodev, that's not enough. Mikol makom, hodlo dainin alei hachti ein dochin nefesh b'fnei nefesh. He's saying the following, that we have to overcome a certain barrier here. In order to kill the Rodev, we have to neutralize the principle of ein dochin nefesh b'fnei nefesh. Can we do so simply because of the din rodef? Is the din rodef enough to negate or neutralize the principle of ein dochen nefesh nei nefesh? Says Rav Chaim, havadai, there's no doubt in our minds, again I think he means based on logic, that in order to put aside or override the ein dochen nefesh nei nefesh, we need another element. Davidin chiyuva berodef. And this is what I'm getting excited about, because we're talking about a whole new element in rodef. We started with Hatzolas HaNirdov, which is going to allow me to be docha the nefesh of the rodef for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdov, but now he's adding a new element to the equation. That's called chiyuva berodef. Okay, he hasn't yet defined it, and I don't know if he will define it. Maybe he's leaving it for us to define, but he calls it a chiyuva the rodef.
So we got like two lines left.
So are you with me on yeah, these? There, yeah. If you see carefully in Reb Chaim's language, he's got two different phrases here. He's coining now a new phrase. Until now, the phrase was din rodef. Now he's talking about chiyuva berodef. If you don't mind underlining those two phrases. This is what I call a brisker Reb Chaim Svei Dinen. Now, what's the nafkamina between a din rodev and a chiyuva de rodev? That nafkamina is going to be the nefesh before it pops its head out, and the nefesh after it pops its head out. Which means the following: that in order to be docha the nefesh of the ubar for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdov, all we need is a din rodef. Yeah. But in order to be docha the nefesh of the uber after it pops its head out, for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdov, there we need an additional element which is called chiyuva de rodef. Asher al kein lo zehu de mahanya. Here's where the principle of the Gemara, once it pops its head out, of min hashamayim karat filei has an effective power. Lafkia minei chiyuv zeh. Right now we're talking about the second din of Rodev. Not the din of din Rodev, but the din of Chiyuva de Rodev. And for Chiyuva de Rodev, we need to to have, what did you call it again, Yosef? A volitional rodef? Was that the word? We need a volitional rodef. If it's minashamayim karad filet, and this is nature taking its course, then we're going to be mafkia the chiyuv rodef.
Mafkia meaning
take away.
Not going to apply.
Correct. We're gonna strip the rodef of his status as a chiyuv of the rodef. He doesn't have that status because minashamayim karad filet. So we're left with a din rodef. Now, what happens in a din rodef? Also, in a din rodef, we're going to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to ask about ein docha nefesh b'fnei nefesh. And here's where the Rambam is going to establish a difference between the nefesh of the ubar, which in the parash of Hatzolas nefesh ha-nirdof is going to be subject to Dechia. In other words, we're going to allow Dechia here, and we're going to allow the Dechia of the Nefesh HaUbar for the sake of Atzolos HaNirdof, even if there's no Chiyuv Rodef. Because again, in Shemayim Karad Filei, so we were already Mafkir the Chiyuv Rodef.
So Shemayim is the problem.
No, wait, just leave out Shemayim for a second. No, all I'm trying to say here is the following. Let's just focus on the abstract rules of it. It's very abstract. He's saying the following, that we have a principle called Ein Docha Nefesh B'Fnei Nefesh. We're going to override that principle in the case of a Rodef. Can we do so simply because we check the box of the Din Rodef? Or do we need an extra box, an additional box called a Chiyuv Rodef? And here he says it's going to depend on the Nefesh that we're being Docha. Is the Nefesh X or is the Nefesh Y? Is the Nefesh Eino Gomor or if it's a Nefesh Gomor? If it's a Nefesh before birth, then all we need in order to apply the principle of Dochim Nefesh B'nei Nefesh Midin Rodef is a Din Rodef. We need nothing more. But if on the other hand we have a Nefesh Gomor, then the Din Rodef is not going to be enough to justify violating, so to speak, or overriding the principle of Ein Docha Nefesh Bnei Nefesh. Once it's a Nefesh Gomur, then the Ein Docha Nefesh Bnei Nefesh takes on a whole different category within the parasha of Rodev. And here we need not just a Din Rodev, but we also need a Chiyuv Rodev. Again, you can ask me the question about a cotton. I know, that's going to be a big kash on Reb Chaim, but let's see if we can get to that kash. He says, "I will be kolmakom ikar din rodef atzolos hanirdof lo pakabe." So the din rodef, which sets up atzolos hanirdof, applies even in the case of an ubar. Ubemele the other din agabi ubar the nidchav ne'aim mishum the vidin atzolos hanirdof avidina de ubar the nidchav mipnei nefesh gomor. Do you follow?
I
would add two words to Reb Chaim if I ever had the chutzpah. I would say the following: Umishum de vidin atzolos hanirdof, havidin di ubar she'eno nefesh gavur. Those are the three words I would add. Nidche mipnei nefesh gavur. Just to clarify, that I'm not adding anything, but I'm just, pedagogy. I think he should have emphasized this, that the status of an ubar, which again takes us back to the paragraph before that, is that of a Nefesh Eino Gomor. So now we're weighing here two factors. One factor is that we need Hatzolos HaNirdof, and the Rodef has a Shame Rodef, or a Din Rodef, as Reb Chaim calls it. But now we have another factor, and that the Nefesh, and that is that the Ubar is a Nefesh, and that we spent a lot of time proving that the Uber has the status of a Nefesh. If the Uber has the status of a Nefesh, then it's all fine and dandy that you have Atzolos HaNirdof, but you're still facing a brick wall because the barrier is a Docha Nefesh Bnei Nefesh. And we're considering and defining the Uber as a Nefesh. Here Reb Chaim says we have to combine these two factors. On the one hand, for the sake of Atzolos HaNirdof, we want to be Docha the Nefesh of the Rodef, if the Rodef has a Din Rodef. We've already established that in the case of the Ubar, whether or not it's before it pops the set, after it has a Din Rodef. So from that perspective, we're ready to let all systems go. And we're ready to say that for that Solas HaNirdof, we're going to take the life of the Rodef, even though the rodef is considered a nefesh. So the new chiddush of atzolas anirdav that undermines and neutralizes ein docha nefesh for nefesh is in place, and for that all we need is a din nefesh. But the only problem is that what kind of a din nefesh allows you to take the nefesh of the rodef? Again, it has a din rodef, but is that enough to give you license to take the nefesh and violate the principle of nefesh? Here's where the Rambam makes the fine distinction. We can only rely on the din nefesh to operate and override ein docha nefesh and nefesh if we have some logical reason why we would suspend ein docha nefesh from nefesh. You can't just tell me, well, it's atzolos anirdav, because that alone would not be enough to be docha nefesh unless it had a din of a rodef. So now we have the din of a rodef. Does that automatically mean that we can docha the nefesh of the rodef? So if the rodef has a chiyuv rodef, then for sure, based on the chiyuv rodef, we could take his life. But if we're only dealing with atzolos anirdav without a chiyuv on the rodef, so what gives you the right to take his life? So you can tell me there's a din rodef. The Rambam holds that's not enough. You need a din rodef of a nefesh eino gomer. If it's a nefesh eino gomer, I'm not just making an arbitrary decision, well, I'm going to snuff out this nefesh for the sake of saving this nefesh. I have some distinction between one nefesh and the other, and now the din rodef is going to allow me, through the mechanism of atzolos anirdav, to take the life of the rodef, of the uba, which normally, chas v'shalom, we would never take the life of the uba. So I must introduce into this equation the din of rodef. Without introducing the din of rodef, there's no way, no how we can kill the ubar. But on the other hand, I want to know what happened to docha nefesh b'nei nefesh. So you introduce that tzolos anirdav, you introduce the din rodef, but what about the principle of ein docha nefesh b'nei nefesh? That principle is not chopped liver. We have to deal with that. And the answer is going to be that the nefesh of rodef, the nefesh ubar is a little bit less than again, it's a nefesh, you know. Call it 99%. That 99% is enough to give the status of a nefesh to the ubar, and therefore we're going to override the Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and we're going to apply the principle of a chayvim and pikuach nefesh. But on the other hand, it's not 100%. So that distinction between the mother's nefesh and the child and the ubar's nefesh, which again that distinction only applies before it pops its head out. That comparison of or contrast of a nefesh gomer to nefesh eino gomer allows me to be doche the nefesh eino gomer for the sake of that solace of a nefesh gomer. If there's a din rodef, again, if there's no din of rodef, there's nothing to begin with. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you don't have a din rodef and you're dealing with pikuach nefesh, then ein doche nefesh nefesh. The nefesh is 99%. That's good enough to give it the status of a nefesh. But as we said before, the principle of ein docha nefesh changes in the case of atzolos anirdav when there's a din of a rodef. Yeah. And how does it change? It changes to allow for being docha nefesh eino gomer for the sake of atzolos nefesh gomer. Masha ein kein v'yotza rosho, then ein no gimba. Why? Because now we have a nefesh gomer. If we have a nefesh gomer, then we have to apply the principle of ein docha nefesh b'nei nefesh, and you can't make any distinction between the nefesh of the ubar and the nefesh of the mother. El, what? You're going to tell me there's a rodef, but that's only a din rodef. And a din rodef is not sufficient to allow me, for the sake of hatzolas anirdav, to snub out the life of the rodef. Why? Because the rodef is a nefesh. And the rodef is not guilty in any sense, and therefore it only has a din of a rodef, but not a chi of a rodef. And the nafkamina is going to be that we're going to apply the principle of ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh once we get to the point where the nefesh is a nefesh gomur, even though it has a din nefesh, we're still going to apply the principle of ein docha nefesh nefesh. The only reason in the case of a din rodef before the baby pops his head is that we're allowed to override the ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh for the sake of atzolos anirdav is because the nefesh ain't a gomur. But once the nefesh gomur, we're back to square one. We have ein docha nefesh v'nei nefesh. The only aspect of the parasha of rodef that can allow me to be docha one nefesh, which is a nefesh gomer, for the sake of saving another nefesh, which is a nefesh gomer, is only a chiyuv rodev. Ki im betziruf chiyuv ederodev. Now we need two dimensions, we need two elements. We need din rodev, but we also have to have chiyuv ederodev. Because if we don't have chiyuv ederodev, then we're stuck with ein docha nefesh b'fnei nefesh. And it doesn't make any sense to be matzil one nefesh, and therefore override the life of another nefesh. How do we bridge that gap and allow you to take a nefesh gomur for the sake of saving another nefesh? For that we need, says Reb Chaim, not only a din rodev but also a chiyuv rodev. And in the case of an ubar, we don't have that extra element of chiyuv rodev, and that's the principle of mishamayim karat filin. So when the Rambam applies the principle of rodev to the case of the baby before it sticks its head out, it means that very reality of the fact that the baby's birth is going to endanger the life of the mother, that's going to apply as a din rodev, and that's going to apply even after the baby pops its head out. It still retains its status as a din rodev. But if you ask me whether or not we can override the principle of ein docha nefesh b'nei nefesh simply because of the status of the fetus as a rodev, here we're not going to go that far. We're going to still say that the fetus has a right to cling to its life, to claim that I'm a nefesh no less than she is, and therefore how can you be docha my nefesh? The answer is that you're not the same nefesh before you pop your head out, and therefore the din rodef is going to be allow me to make this judgment call and circumvent the principle of ein docha nefesh ein nefesh. But once the baby pops its head out, then you don't have that freedom to make a judgment call and say, well, when I evaluate these two nefashos, I can put one as a nefesh gomer, one as a nefesh eino gomer. They're both a nefesh gomer. Here's where the din rodef is not enough to override the principle of ein docha nefesh ein nefesh. Now we have to introduce another element in the equation, which is called a chiyuv derodev, and that doesn't apply to the case of a fetus, because min hashamayim
kara. Can we use the words to define din rodev and din chiyuv derodev? I think maybe you asked it before, but I'm not sure. As passive versus active, is that the way you would say it? I mean, if you could say
it's intentional versus unintentional, that's why I think volition is a good word.
I mean, but in fact, we have to see him, i.e. the baby with the head out, you'd have to see him like any other role. They're actually trying to kill, not just he's causing the death of somebody.
Yeah, or wanting to kill, or trying to kill, right.
Right. So the baby...
Now, let's put Reb Chaim on the side. I'm sure we haven't exhausted this Reb Chaim, because when he gets to the punchline, he's very, very terse. You know, the Rav told us that what we have in front of us is the, I forgot what he called it, the sixth or the seventh
edition
of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim kept rewriting, and every time Reb Chaim came back to his manuscript, he started crossing things out. And the Rav bemoaned the fact that we don't have the first manuscript, because then we would understand Reb Chaim. But Reb Chaim was obsessed with brevity.
Brevity.
He's a man of brevity. And as a result of his
brevity versus clarity.
I have a feeling that because Reb Chaim wanted to be a Rishon, basically, and the Rishonim are very terse, and that's why the Achronim will take one paragraph in a Rishon, they'll write a whole book on it, and that's what Reb Chaim really does. And I'm sure that this last paragraph in its original form was probably at least a couple of lines longer than what we have. That's what I think. But I just want to know if this can help us with this paragraph on Reish Aleph. That's what I want to investigate with you. We're talking about a case where there's no atzolas anirdof here. What do I mean? The process by which will culminate in the death of the Eved is already written in stone. I mean, the Eved is going to die no matter what, because the atzotas Ha'esh, Ha'godesh, is ultimately, in the Eved Kofas situation, going to lead to the death of the Eved. The Mela, I would have said that the status of the Madlik as a Rodev in the Rashba's frame reference terminates the very moment that he does that Tzotzas Ha'esh, because you can no longer put him to death.
It won't help.
Since it won't help, we don't have the right to put him there. I would even go as far as to say the following: if somebody would shoot the madlik after he lit the fire, that person who shot the madlik, right? John, what was his name? Ruby? Who's the one who killed Oswald? What was his name?
Ruby,
whatever his name was. I would say that he should be put to death for killing Lee Harvey Oswald. Right. What do I mean? Once Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK, then he's no longer Rodent, right? What was his name?
Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby. Is he still alive, Jack Ruby?
No. He was killed.
Oh, Jim, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of
Jack Ruby. Who killed Jack Ruby?
He
killed Lee Harvey Oswald, right?
He killed Lee Harvey Oswald. He wasn't
killed. Oh, right.
He may be still alive.
He killed Lee Harvey Oswald, but he then...
Yeah, he's an alter mensch, but he might be 130, but I know he could be... Anyway, so what I'm saying is that if somebody would kill this madlik the moment after he did that luck, and that person would be put to death as a rotsach. So how could there be a meiser adifa that takes us from the moment of hatzotza until the death of the eved? So I wanted to suggest that maybe that's not a din in atzolas anirdav, but there's another dimension to rodev, which is called the chiyuv rodev, and the chiyuv rodev continues until the point in which he kills the eved. Do you follow what I'm saying?
But he's not killing the Eved. The fire is...
Well, no, we're holding now Eisho Mishum Chitzav. So if we're holding Eisho Mishum Chitzav, he's killing the Eved.
He's killing the Eved.
And that's what Yechiel was saying before.
Even though he's running away.
Who's running away? The Madlik.
The Madlik.
Well, if we catch him, we'll put him to death as a Rotzeach. But the only question is, putting him to death as a Rotzeach is not going to solve the Rashi's problem of Kimlev the Ramine to make him pay for, to potter him up for paying for the Gadish. Because the Rashi understood, and that's what we spent 2 days on, that the Ritzicha Chiyuv is simultaneous with the death of the Eved. Nothing before that fits into... what we call Akir Tzarech Hanoch, if you remember.
Yeah, thank you.
So therefore the Rashba was forced, he was compelled to introduce another element to the equation called Rodev. But now we're saying that status of Rodev vis-a-vis Kimlei the Ramin is going to extend beyond the moment of Hatzotza, even though there's no din of there's no possibility of Hatzolos Hanidav. We could not possibly kill the Rodev at this point, meaning the Madlik. And yet, we're going to apply the principle of Rodev to pater him up from paying damages on the Gadish that were incurred after that tzotza, right? That tzotza is only the beginning of the process. It's going to take a few seconds until the Gadish goes up in smoke. He's not going to pay for that Gadish. So the Rashba asks, why won't he pay for the Gadish? He's not Chayav Bisa until the Eved dies. And the answer is because he's a Rodev. But he's not a Rodev. He was only a Rodev in the moment of Hatzotza. If you're going to gauge the Rodev by Hatzolos HaNirdof, the shame Rodev is Paka the moment that he lights the Gadish on fire. Because at that moment you can no longer save the Nirdof. The Eved is a goner here. Prepare the Tachrichim. But I'm just suggesting that maybe, I'm wondering if what I'm saying has any value to it, that if Reb Chaim is introducing a whole new element into the equation, that the parsha of Rodev is a result of two variables, two elements. Number one, there's the din Rodev, as Reb Chaim calls it. Number two, there's the chiyuv Rodev. And the Reb Chaim sets up the nafkamina in the case of a baby that's already popped its head out, that even though it has a din Rodev for sure, but it doesn't have the chiyuv Rodev. Because the chiyuv Rodev has to do with the responsibility of the Rodev. And the baby is not responsible at all. It is in Metzias, it's a Rodev because it's endangering life of the mother. Hence, before it pops its head out, we're going to apply the din of Hatzolos HaNirdov, and we're going to say that Ein Doch Nefesh B'nei Nefesh doesn't apply here because the Nefesh of the fetus is vis-a-vis in comparison to the Nefesh of the mother is a Nefesh Eder Gomur. But when we get to the situation of a Nefesh Gomur, now Reb Chaim says we're going to apply the principle of Ein Doch Nefesh B'nei Nefesh. Why? Because the both nefashas are full-fledged nefashas. You can't make a judgment call of one over the other, and therefore you can't snub a man unless there's a chiyuv rodev. And here's where Reb Chaim introduces, I think, a whole new element into rodev called a chiyuv rodev. And I'm wondering if maybe the din rodev, as far as Hatzotza HaNidav, would terminate with the Hatzotza HaEish, but the chiyuv rodev continues until the moment that he kills the Eved. Do you want to think about that and tell me if it makes any sense?
Of course it does.
Well, not just that it's not making sense just because I said it. I mean, I'm just trying to make some sense out of it. You know, the next project would be to understand Reish Lakish. You know, Reish Lakish holds Isha Mishum Mono, has Kimlev and Rabbi, they work according to Reish Lakish within the framework of the Raj. But so
did we answer the question about the Kodesh after the
So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I have to go through the notes again very carefully here, that after the, as far as that part of the Godish that burns after the Evid, on that he has to pay.
Yes.
I think so, if I'm not mistaken. I'll, you know, force me to look it over again and underline that the right one. Okay. So again,